about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Gene, I'm tired. I gotta do something to keep awake. I'll try tuning on the radio.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Why are you afraid of the cop?
I'm not afraid of cops.
You're not? Let's go talk to him.
Why?
Let's interview the cop.
About what?
Unless you got something to hide.
I don't have something to hide.
Do you have something to hide?
Yeah, why are we interviewing?
Why are you acting all nervous? Because the cops are there. They're not doing anything. They're not even looking at us.
Okay, no worries.
Do you want to go interview him?
I don't care.
Okay, let's go interview him then, if you don't care.
Well, I'm not going to follow the cops all the way there, you know? Let's do some. We can do some. Save us some at a time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I, for one, am going to rent Finding Nemo.
Ooh, we don't carry cartoons. But if you want a film about the ocean, we have a documentary about the brutality of Japan's whaling industry. It's called Tears of My Blowhole, and it's nauseating.
And now...
Hey, it's the Flunkies, and people say you're bad at your jobs.
Our feature presentation.
How dare you? Welcome in, party people, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Monday morning. It's got to be the 18th of March.
Yes.
Lisa May.
Bean.
Beer mug.
I made it. I'm alive, and I'm not in a bush.
That's true. Yesterday was St. Patrick's Day.
I do need to hear about beer mug in a bush. It's funny to have you guys in the room here with me because I missed one of you so much, and the other one, I thought I paid a guy to kill while I was on vacation.
Obviously, not
Lisa,
enough,
right? I was Lisa.
That didn't help.
Missed you too, Bean. Welcome.
You ever
back.
Have one of those colds, and sometimes it turns into something worse that you just can't believe? You wake up another day, another week. You can't believe you're still coughing. You've still got that chest cold. It just won't go away.
Yes.
Does that ever happen to you guys?
Yeah.
That's what beer mug effing working at K-Rock is like.
How dare you?
He's become a sinus infection.
Yes. You come in on another
bronchitis,
Monday and you go, how is it possible I have not been able to get this guy out of our system yet? What's going on?
Because he's a germ. He's a germ that cannot be killed by penicillin.
That hurts more coming from you,
Lisa.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You know what? You're actually onto something, Lisa. He's actually AIDS is what he is.
Wow.
Your mug is AIDS. You can't just take a pill. You can't just make it go away. You can reduce the symptoms. You can feel a little better, but you can't get rid of it.
Your life is always a danger.
Wow, finally, we put our finger on what beer mug is to this show. He's the AIDS of the Kevin and Bean show.
We need a song.
Omar, get on it. All right. I'm not going to watch this video, but I am going to describe it to you. You know, we have My Strange Addiction, that show that we love so much on TLC. And then there's a new one that we recently discovered. What's that one called? My Wacky Obsession or something like that. There's a completely different show about people who are obsessed with things, not just addicted to things, right?
Yes. There's like My Strange Obsession and My Crazy Obsession. And there's a lot of them.
And here's a website called Vice. Maybe you guys have seen this. And we used one of their guys a few weeks ago. We spotlighted the dude that they did a video on who was injecting snake venom into his veins.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
For 20-something years, he injected snake venom. Well, they've got a new video up on their site. This is a guy named Arthur Boyt. He is 73 years old, and he has made eating roadkill his hobby.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He does
it's
not
a hobby. He doesn't need it because...
He doesn't need it, right. He's not poor or anything like that. He just enjoys it. He does not discriminate, the article says, and again, I'm not going to watch the video, between fresh-looking specimens and festering cadavers.
Oh.
He will eat anything he finds on the road.
No.
So to me, this means that squirrel that's been there a month, he's able to scrape something out of.
Who's hungry?
How does he not get sick?
I don't why would that be appealing to a person, anyone, right?
Does he think it makes him stronger?
I haven't watched the video. I'm not going to. I can't watch lots of dead animals.
No.
I just can't. Here's a quote. I ate a badger once that somebody else had picked up because they wanted its skull. It was blown up like a horse and it smelt rather horrible. When I cut into the flesh, it was green, but nevertheless, I persevered and stewed it. It made the house smell like an old-fashioned mental hospital, but boy, it tasted delicious.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
What?
Who's hungry?
He started as a taxidermist. He says he used to simply pick up roadkill to mount it, you know, to make little fuzzy roadkill into you know, something that people could put in their houses. Later, he decided he should start eating what he finds. He has eaten ferrets, badgers, rabbits, and more.
He'll probably outlive us all.
I don't know. Well, he's already 73, so.
Yeah, and still out there scooping up dinner.
I just, no, please,
when
right?
When it blows up like a balloon, I'm out.
Yes.
Dear
and you
God.
Cut into the flesh and it's green.
Oh, God.
That is no bueno. That
he's
is
a
no
zombie.
Bueno.
That isn't all good right. for you.
I agree. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin DeBean show, shall we?
You're a dickhead.
Wow. Okay. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us within the hour. I'm actually very excited to talk about Harvey because TMZ was just blasted by some people on Friday with their report that Lil Wayne was being read his last rites.
Yeah.
And then other people in the hospital with Wayne, allegedly, say that they blew it way out of proportion and that he was fine, that it was a fairly mild reaction. So I want to find out what's going on with that. And I mean, that's, you know, TMZ never wants to be part of the story, I don't think.
No, and generally they're not. They almost always
and
get it right.
They're not. And I tend to believe TMZ over whoever's speaking for Lil Wayne anyway.
Yes, because we know that spokespeople lie.
Exactly.
All
right.
the time.
We are going to have a story today about Beer Mug waking up in a bush. That's something that's on the schedule, but I have not seen the paperwork. Is that new, Beer Mug?
No, that's a recap from St. Patrick's Day about 3 years ago.
We're going to relive the glory.
Yeah. Classic Beer Mug.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
Kevin wanted to name the bit Beer Mug We Should Have Known.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano is going to be on. He's, of course, with the NFL Network, and I know you might be thinking to yourself, it doesn't seem like it's quite football season yet, but in reality, there's so much going on. There's new rule changes. There's the draft that has moved some pretty high-profile players from team to team, and there's the news that just came out last week that football is dead in L.A., so we'll talk to him about all of that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Jared Leto joins us on the program today. He, of course, from 30 Seconds to Mars. We're going to be world premiering brand new music from the band called Up in the Air. And I understand Jared's actually going to be calling us from NASA today.
What?
Yes. Apparently, they took this new song, Up in the Air, and shot it into space. Apparently, it's either on its way or already at the space station.
No kidding.
Yes, it's a promotion because it's, you know, up in the air. But those of us here on Earth are going to get a chance to hear it for the first time today with Jared on the phone. That'll also be in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Again, new 30 Seconds to Mars world premiere called Up in the Air. That's happening up later on today. And Chris Hardwick joins us, too. He, of course, of The Talking Dead, talking about The Walking Dead now with only 2 episodes left for season 3. So we'll catch up with Chris and find out what's going on. Plus, Ralph Garman's got the showbiz beat, and that's next, right after this on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. This week, by the way, giving away tickets to go see System of a Down July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl. Boy, it's been a while since those guys have been around. And also, you qualify for a trip to see them play in Milan, Italy, don't you know? Your chance to qualify coming up this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. Hi, Ralph Garman. Exactly. It's like system is right here.
Nothing better than the bowl, a nice relaxing evening under the stars. You and a picnic and your girlfriend a bottle of wine, just sitting back, relaxing.
It's what that place was built for, is shows like System of a Down, man.
You get that.
Ralph, I think about you this past weekend every year when the Los Angeles Marathon comes around because you wisely moved off the parade route a few years ago. And I imagine that you're so happy when the marathon comes around and screws up everybody else's life but yours now.
I'm not happy about that. I'm just happy I can ignore it and forget that it's even happening as opposed to every year when they would just, it was like they were running over my spleen each and every year.
Yeah.
So this year I was like, oh, that happened? But I'm not happy for the people at inconvenience. I feel for them. I used to be one of them. I was able to rise above. I was able to get out of the hell that is the marathon, and I wish that for everyone. In fact, I wish they would take the marathoners and just put them down in the Coliseum and make them run in a circle. If they want to run so effing bad, just let them do it in their own confined space and stop ruining lives all over Southern California is what they should do.
Or better yet, build a habit trail out in the desert where they could just they can run completely separate from everybody.
Perfectly wonderful result as well. Or point them west and have them run off the Santa Monica Pier and have them run underwater for a while and then see where that goes.
Well,
he knows.
a Kenyan won this year, won the Los Angeles Marathon. I know, it was a guy from Kenya.
When did they get good at running?
Very shocking. Very shocking. All right, time for our very first look at the showbiz beat here on a brand new week of the Kevin and Bean Show.
It is a Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. For the second week in a row, Oz proves indeed great and powerful. Ha ha! See what I did there?
I saw it.
$42.2 million it made this week.
I enjoyed the crap out of that movie.
Puts it well over $100 million for its first couple weeks. Not too shabby.
Now, Lisa, what about the criticism that appears to be universal that...
Universal didn't make this movie. Disney did.
That James Franco is horribly miscast as Oz.
Totally true. Still enjoyed the crap out of that movie.
Cool. It's got a talking monkey. Can't get any better
than that, people. Pretty dang cute.
Can't get better than a talking monkey.
Nope.
The Call was number two at the box office this weekend, just with $17 million. So a significant drop-off from number one to number two. $17 million worth of people believed that a 911 operator would go out and fight crime. That's on you.
And
that's
it's Halle Berry, of course.
That's on you. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone was anything but, with just $10 million in its debut weekend. Jack the Giant Slayer 3D was fourth, and Identity Thief was fifth. Snitch, 21 and over, Silver Linings Playbook, Safe Haven, and Escape from Planet Earth were the rest of the top 10 at the box office over the weekend. Rampant rumors over the weekend that seem to have been confirmed today. American Idol host Ryan Seacrest and his dancer-actress girlfriend Juliana Hoff have apparently split up. The reason? They give...
Yes.
Busy work schedules.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. The reason to give. All right.
The reason.
Yes.
Well, you can fill in the blanks. You can assume how disappointed she must have been when she found him with that sailor. What? More breakup news. Breakup! Breakup! Jillian Barbary Reynolds, former host of Good Day LA here in Los Angeles, has announced she plans to divorce her actor husband Grant Reynolds, her husband of more than 6 years.
Her Hollywood husband?
Her Hollywood husband. Remember that show, Hollywood Husbands?
I do.
It was him and the guy that was married to Tootie or somebody.
Yeah.
And some other douchebag. Horrible, horrible reality show.
So she moved on from her baseball husband to her Hollywood husband, and now he's gone too.
Yeah.
Well, there was plenty of dudes in between.
All right.
Rumor had it that she broke up with her baseball player husband, Brett Barbary, for another dude, and then she met this Grant Reynolds dude, and then they're getting divorced. No word about there's another dude or not, but...
there's always another dude.
Insiders are calling it mercy. That's what they're calling it. her leaving Grant Reynolds. She's just horrible.
That show did nothing for her.
She's a horrible person on every level. You think every day Steve Edwards just wakes up now with a smile on his face? Because he doesn't have to face her anymore?
I'm sorry.
She was a lot to take.
Yeah.
You know who else is a lot to take? Let alone her!
Now what?
Well, she's supposed to be in court this morning, Lisa.
Is she?
At 8:30 a.m. West Coast time.
She doesn't roll like that.
Well, you know, she doesn't, because she was partying in New York City last night and missed her flight to Los Angeles.
Awesome.
So, no word if she will show up in time for the 8:30 court
date. I don't know how that will happen.
I don't either. Witnesses say she was dancing on a dance floor when she was supposed to be flying back to face charges. That she lied to law enforcement officials after that car accident last June.
She just wants to go to jail.
She sure seems like she's working hard to get there.
People, let's just let her do it, if that's what she wants.
TMZ says a bench warrant will be issued for her arrest if she doesn't show up in time for the hearing. So, bounty hunters, take note. Make some money.
She needs a handler.
She does. And Lindsay responded to Justin Bieber's slap against her via his Instagram rant last week. Remember I talked about that? I said at the end of his rant, for those of you comparing to me to Lindsay Lohan, he said, why don't you check our 2012 tax returns?
Yeah.
Boom! Booyah! Well, Lindsay was appalled at the comment, calling it senseless and mean. Which, look, I'm no Lindsay Lohan fan, but didn't make any sense why he would take a swipe at her in his rant. Lindsay... Again, according to TMZ, considers Bieber a rude, arrogant, obnoxious little hairless boy.
Also true.
That's all true.
You know what it is? It's that we talk about him sliding into Lindsay territory.
Right.
I think that's where this right.
But
comes
the, what,
but
the
she
point
never
that he's,
said it.
No, she never did.
Right. And the point that he's missing is how much money he makes doesn't have anything to do with what an asshole he is.
Right.
That's right, yes.
That's the point.
Wow, listen to Bean. He has come. He's come from the believer side to the righteous side. Oh, I feel so good about that.
Look, I... Never mind.
You, yeah, we know.
I love him.
I'm a fan.
You like his music.
I'm a fan of his music, but I'm not a fan of him acting the way he acts.
I just can't quit him.
Ryan and I were listening to him over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe.
Oh, he's the best.
Mike Rowe's got the best voice in show business.
He does.
Hey, how's your Ford treat you? Yeah, get new tires over there. 51 years old today.
Lisa, you got a dirty job for Mike Rowe, don't you?
Oh, listen, none of what's going on with Mike Rowe is bad.
Vanessa Williams is 50. Jerry Cantrell.
She's the former Miss America, that
and
one?
And she looks good.
Yeah. She's been an actress and a singer for some time now. It almost belittles her to refer to her as former Miss America now. She's had a lengthy career.
Yes.
She has.
She's 50 years old today. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 47. Queen Latifah celebrates her 43rd birthday. Oh, see if you next hour, Beer Mug, if you can manage this to hunt down... Kevin announcing her at the Grammys. Remember that?
Okay.
All hail Queen Latifah.
Unfortunately, it was...
Oh, is that Bean? Is that you?
Unfortunately, it was...
All hail Queen Latifah. Oh, yeah, I'm afraid so. That's good. Glad we got that. Dane Cook is 41. Nobody? Nobody? Nothing? Bean, you have white-hot hatred for him.
I do. I can't believe that dude's still alive.
Adam Levine of Maroon 5 turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Lisa May, let's talk about Al Pacino for a minute.
Okay.
Al Pacino has been nominated for how many Academy Awards?
Well, probably 5 at least, right?
7.
Really?
Isn't that unbelievable? Jeez. This is a guy who's been one of our greatest actors for decades. The Godfather, Serpico, Godfather Part 2, Dog Day Afternoon, and Justice for All. Believe it or not, he got nominated for an Oscar for Dick Tracy. Also, Glengarry Glen Ross. He won for Scent of a Woman. This is a guy who's been doing it for a long time and doing it well.
Yeah.
But it seems to me like in recent years, he's gotten to the point where he's mostly just playing Al Pacino. Like, every time I see him in a movie, he's Al Pacino, just Al Pacinoing it up. It's been a long time since he's had the kind of critical acclaim that he used to get, and people are talking about this performance of him as Phil Spector in this HBO movie that airs next Sunday night as being one of those performances that you're not going to believe how great he is.
He looks so great.
He looks
Phil.
Just like him. Yes. He looks just like him. I am so excited about this movie. HBO, this coming Sunday night, it's called Phil Spector. And for those who don't remember the name or the story, he's a legendary record producer, famous guy in the music industry, who was accused of and eventually convicted of killing a woman at his house that he had met. And he claimed that she'd committed suicide, which was a bizarre story, that she would go over to somebody else's house to commit suicide. But that was his story. He was sticking with it, and it didn't fly. And I just can't wait to see what they're going to do with this. Written by the great David Mamet, by the way, one of the all-time great screenwriters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be awesome on Sunday. We wanted to find out a little bit more about it, and I believe our old friend Al is back on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Pacino, good morning.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You know, we're big fans of your work, Mr. Pacino.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours, too. I listen every morning.
Thank you.
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Ooh-ah. Get us. Ooh, how do you like a load of me now? Hey, this guy died. Well, look at this guy. Ooh, he's in showbiz. Ooh, 5 beer mug. Ooh-ah.
I'm with you there, Al. I'm with you there. So let's talk about playing Phil Spector. What's it like to play a real-life guy ripped from the headlines?
Oh, this character was amazing.
Yeah.
A lot of wigs.
Yeah,
well,
I imagine.
That's the one thing that people
one
are talking
thing
about.
What attracted me to the role was wigs. I get to put on wig after wig. Ooh-ah.
Explain to folks who maybe don't recall the news coverage from a decade ago how crazy some of these hair pieces are.
Phil Spector was not a guy afraid of a wig. The bigger, the better.
Yeah.
And he'd put it on his head,
right,
and he'd go to court and say, "Get a load of me. I got a wig on."
Because some people, when they're follically challenged, shall we say, Al, they'll try to put something on that's modest, something that's not going to attract a lot of attention to the person. Maybe try to pass it off as real. But I mean, Al, you gotta admit that Phil Spector sometimes would go in there with a giant white guy afro, and then he'd go in looking like a hippie from the '60s the next day. I mean, he didn't even care what it looked like.
Yeah, during my research for the film, I looked into wigs. And many people wear wigs that resemble human hair.
Right.
Not Phil.
Phil at all.
Liked to look like a marmoset.
Yes,
or some kind of wacky animal. And he'd say, "Wah, be my little baby. Hair. Whoa!
Did you get any kind of a sense, and I haven't seen the movie or read the script yet, of whether he actually did or not? He was convicted for the murder, but do you believe that Phil Spector was guilty?
I believe that Phil Spector is innocent.
Really?
I do.
Wow.
I believe Lana Clarkson, that night, went to his house. And he put on one of those wigs, and she killed herself rather than look at him for 1 minute longer. Ooh-ah! Ooh-ah! Oh! Ooh! Oh! Oh!
You okay, Al? Al?
Oh.
You all right?
Oh. I should not have called you from the toilet.
Oh, no. I have not heard that song in a while, and it sounds good again.
It does.
That's Chris right. Martin, Coldplay, Yellow on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, an all-new Beans Death Corner in minutes. First, though, Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good morning, Harvey.
Always
morning.
A pleasure, Harvey. I'm telling you, I'm very disappointed to see your latest post at TMZ.com. Tell me that somebody has come through to help Lindsay Lohan get out of yet another jam that she got herself into.
Well, we don't know that she's going to get out of it. First of all, she missed 3 flights yesterday from New York, which is really, I mean, but you know what? This happens all the time with her.
Yes.
So she was trying to get enough money together to get a private jet. So she's right now in a private jet. It's supposed to land at around 7 in the morning, but she's landing in Van Nuys. So it's a long, long trip to get to the courthouse by 8:30 where her trial starts. And it's, you know, it's bad form always to show up late for
your criminal. Well, can't she just helicopter in?
You know what? Actually, wait a minute. Where would you helicopter? Because you can't land at the courthouse.
I'll lower on a rope. I don't know.
Right.
Who came up with a private jet to help her out of this jam, Harvey?
I can't begin to explain this drama yesterday. I mean, she misses 2 flights. She gets on a 3rd. Then she runs off the airplane because she says she thinks the airplane has a problem.
Are you kidding?
You want to hear the weirdest thing?
Yes.
The plane did divert to Las Vegas. It didn't make it to Los Angeles, the one she got off, because it ran out of fuel. So,
oh, my God.
I know. So it actually did divert. I know we're laughing at her, but
Lindsay's psychic.
She's psychic. Anyway, so it lands at 7 o'clock. She's gonna, you know, assuming she makes it, she's in trouble in this one, because I'm telling you, she could go to jail for 2 or 3 months if she's convicted here because of this probation violation. I'm talking real time, 2 or 3 months.
I know that we have so often in the past, Harvey, said that we cannot put ourselves in her headspace. We can't figure out what she's thinking. But if you knew you had the most important court date of the year coming up today in Los Angeles, wouldn't you damn well make sure you were on a plane over the weekend to get back?
No, but she's done this before, guys, remember?
And she gets away with it.
Well, do you remember when she... Let's go back down memory lane talking about all of Lindsay's hijinks in court. Do you remember the time when she was at the Cannes Film Festival and
yes.
she said that somebody stole her passport and she couldn't get on the plane? I mean, there is a theme here with her and airplanes in court.
Yeah,
there is. Well, I hope the plane lands, but she still arrives at the courthouse 5 minutes too late to see the judge, and there's already a bench warrant for her arrest. That's what I hope happens.
She's in trouble if she doesn't get there in time.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Friday night, we were talking about this earlier today already, Harvey. TMZ kind of became part of the story a little bit. You were being called out on Twitter for your Lil Wayne reporting. T.I. and others were saying you had it wrong. Tell me what you know about what happened Friday night and what's going on with Lil Wayne today.
Well, we didn't have it wrong. I mean, we said that this guy.
Hey, this is what I said. I said I believe TMZ more than I believe anybody who's speaking for Lil Wayne. I'll tell you that.
Well, let's put it this way: they're saying he's fine. We're about to post a story saying he's still in intensive care 6 days later.
That's definitely not fine.
Yeah. Now, what's the medical condition that he has that is causing all these seizures, well, or is it just a reaction to too much Zyrp?
Well, I'm not a doctor here, but that seems to be what it is. We're told he took a massive amount. What happened was he had a seizure on Tuesday. He got out of he was taken to the hospital. He got out of the hospital, apparently went on a binge, and the bodyguard found him unconscious, and they rushed him back to Cedars, where he has been in intensive care ever since. He was having violent seizures. They really thought he might die. And it was touch and go. He is, like I said, this is 6 days later. You're not in ICU for 6 days.
No.
You have nothing going on.
Unless it's serious. And you said at one point that he was being read his last rites?
Well, we obviously have good sources on this because we broke the story and we knew pretty much everything that was going on about the restraints, about all of this stuff. So I can just tell you that we were told this. Now, we took that down just because they were so adamant about it. We thought, you know what, they're saying that, we will take that down. We were told this by people who were giving, you know, we were getting a lot of information that obviously is true when you look back now. I mean, again, he's in ICU. They're acknowledging the seizures. He did have this. They did find him unconscious. They do think it's drugs. They know it's serious. But nonetheless, we still took that down because we just thought, okay, you know what? That, given what was going on, he didn't die, thankfully. And, you know, it just seemed like at that point that was out of place in the story.
Do you think, Harvey, that tweet from Lil Wayne on Friday night was actually from him or somebody else using his account saying, I'm all good, thanks for thinking about me?
I have no doubt it was not him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. It seems so strange that would happen from a guy who was in the kind of shape you were reporting.
No. It was not him.
Yeah. And the other thing I'll say, and I'm sure you've noticed this frequently, it really caught my attention this weekend, is that TMZ seems to be the only source that the rest of the media need now to go with a story. They basically just are copying your reporting. All the mainstream news that I saw about Lil Wayne only mentioned TMZ as a source with no additional confirmation, like they didn't even need it.
Yeah, I mean, look, thank you. I mean, I don't know what to say. We work hard to, you know, to be accurate.
Well, you were certainly all over that story. So what do you think is going to happen with Lil Wayne? What's his health prognosis? Have you heard anything official from the doctors about his health?
Nothing official from the doctors. I mean, we've heard a lot of stuff, but all I can say is you're not in ICU for 6 days if it's not real, real serious.
Yeah, and this is a guy who's in his 30s, by the way, and it seems like every year is going to be his last. What the hell is going on with him?
Well, he is – this scissors – I mean, if anything, he is now – the poster child for people who should understand that Sizzurp is not something you should screw around with.
What is it? Explain what it is.
It's it's codeine. It's bad stuff. It's just bad, bad stuff. And it's because
It's prescription strength cough medicine, Lisa, that you mix with soft drinks, basically, with Mountain Dew or something like that. And apparently,
and
the combination
in styrofoam cups. It's a whole ritual.
Yeah,
it's purple drink. Come on, Harvey. Well, you're doing great work reporting on both of these stories, and I know that they are changing minute by minute. So we'll definitely stay tuned. TMZ.com and check your local listings for TMZ Television. And when in Hollywood, be sure to take the TMZ tour. You'll love it. Harvey, thanks so much for coming on, man. We enjoyed it.
See you guys.
There's a new rule change that some are saying is going to destroy the game of football. We'll discuss with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. That's coming up this morning. Also, a world premiere, brand new 30 Seconds to Mars music, Up in the Air is the song we'll be hearing. And we'll be talking to Jared Leto about that. That's all on the way here from the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat in minutes. First, though, how about a brand new Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
No pun intended, Lisa, but it was killing me last week to be on vacation and not be able to share all this sweet, sweet death with you because there was so much. In fact, one story very close to my heart, and I'm sure you saw this, it was all over the news over the weekend. A man in Maryland died of rabies that he contracted from a tainted kidney that he had received in a transplant operation.
Yeah, and so rare now. for something like that to happen.
First of all, Tainted Kidney, my favorite Soft Cell song. But second of all, imagine you think, I mean, look, the guy had kidney failure, like so many do in America, and he was so grateful to be able to receive a kidney from a cadaver. I mean, it just changed his life overnight. All of a sudden, he had his life back. And then you find out that the guy that died, whose organ you got, had rabies. Now, they don't test for rabies. Everybody's asking, how could something like this happen? I thought you test before you do organ transplants. And they do. They test for all sorts of things, you know, HIV and hepatitis and things like that. But as you mentioned, Lisa, rabies is so rare now that it's not something they even do a test for.
And
I was shocked. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to say, generally, you would know that you had rabies. I mean, once you contract it, you know it, but obviously this guy got it and then died like the next day or something.
Had a traffic accident. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And I was surprised to find out that there are only 1 to 3 cases of rabies a year in the United States. That's how rare it is.
No
now.
No kidding. Wow.
Now, the other three people who they took organs out of this one cadaver, they're in Florida, Georgia, and Illinois. They also received organs from the same person. So far, they have not exhibited any symptoms, but they are all being treated with rabies shots right now.
Oh,
but
my
what
God.
A bizarre story that was.
Yeah.
Also bizarre, here's a guy in the BART elevator at San Francisco's Montgomery Station. This is their light rail system up there. He gets into an elevator. He hits the button to go up. And what do you think he hears? A crunching sound and a man screaming as the elevator stops. It turns out that there was a homeless guy who had been sleeping on top of an elevator in the BART station and I guess was still asleep when they started up business in the morning, and he ended up being crushed to death when a guy got in the elevator and hit up.
Oh, God. That's
that
the,
is,
you'll never
that's
get
not
that
the way you want to go.
Sound out of your head.
That's not
you?
The way you want to go.
No.
Look, you're just sleeping on an elevator shaft to stay warm, and the next thing you know, you're being crushed to death. That's no good. This is maybe one of the craziest death corner stories ever, only because this falls very much in the category of what we've talked about so many times before, which is things are going as well as they possibly can be going, and now they're going as badly as they can be going. It's like somebody flips a switch. Here's a woman with her boyfriend in Zimbabwe. They are enjoying a little open-air sex out in the jungle. And what do you think happens is a lion shows up, attacks the couple, kills the woman. The man runs off completely naked wearing nothing but a condom.
Oh.
Now, I know it sounds like a joke, but it's not. It's completely true. From Zimbabwe, they were attacked by a lion while having sex. And here's the quote. Unfortunately, the woman was mauled to death by the lion. Her boyfriend managed to escape. He was only wearing a condom. The two were having their quality time near the Mahaga Bahamahama Primary School. The man eventually notified police, who, along with officials for the Zimbabwe Parks and Wildlife Management Authority, accompanied him to the scene where they found the woman's mauled body. Is that crazy? Is that the last thing in the world you expect to have happen when you're having sexy time outside
in
the woods?
That is unbelievable.
Back to San Francisco we go. Over the weekend, they had the Escape from Alcatraz triathlon. Now, the triathlon, what's involved in that? That's where you swim?
You swim,
like a
you ride
miles?
A bike. Yeah, I think you swim 2 miles. I don't know all the mileage. You ride a bike, and then you run a marathon.
Exactly. So they were doing all three of those things in the triathlon. Unfortunately, this 46-year-old man from Texas had a heart attack and died almost immediately after diving into the freezing San Francisco Bay for the swimming portion of the competition. He had a massive cardiac. Apparently, you know, they have authorities on the scene, medical personnel. They pulled him out, transferred him to land, but he did die. It's the first death in the race's 33 history. They're wondering if it's because they had to move the race this year. It normally happens in June. They had to move it to earlier this year because they have another event that's happening later on in the year that they didn't want to conflict with. So they moved it earlier, so the water is much, much colder than it usually is when they have the race.
I'm surprised that's the first death, because I know with the LA Marathon, they almost always, I don't know this year, but they almost always have at least one person who dies.
And the thing that's a surprise to me is if you're only 46 and you're in good enough shape to compete in a triathlon, you would not expect to have a massive coronary just from getting in cold water.
No, that doesn't seem right.
Like, that doesn't seem like the kind of guy you have to worry about dropping dead, I would think, right?
Yeah. Usually they find they've had some heart problem their whole life they didn't know about.
It's an all-new Beans Death Corner here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's a story out of Independence, Oregon. Here's a man who is killed by an AR-15 rifle that he had just stolen. It discharged in his truck while he was driving away.
You're kidding.
He had stolen a bunch of weapons from this house in Oregon, and the AR-15 rifle and the shotgun were both angled with their butts on the floorboard and their barrels pointed upward toward the driver's seat on the bumpy farm road going away from the guy's house. The bolt head of the shotgun apparently bumped alongside the rifle's trigger, firing one shot that hit the suspect in the head and exited through the roof.
Oh, idiot.
That is not a that is not a the way he hoped that that day would work out. And finally, no one wants to die generally, but if you're going to, maybe this is the way to go. It's a very sad story, but also a very sweet story to end our Death Corner. 94-year-old Normick Henriksen died suddenly en route to his 89-year-old wife Gwendolyn's funeral in February. The couple had been married for 66 years. He's literally on his way to his wife's funeral and passes away in the back seat of the car. What do you suppose the kids did when they got to the chapel where the ceremony was going to be held?
Double funeral.
Double funeral. That's exactly what they did, is they had the dad loaded into a casket and they put a sign up that said, "Surprise, it's a double header." Gwen and Norman Henriksen, February 16, 2013. Look, you're married 66 years, your wife dies. Maybe you just don't want to go on anymore. Maybe he just didn't have the strength to keep going.
I understand that totally.
What a sweet story, though. And it saved the kids all that money only having to have one service, too. So there's actually kind of a little bit of a happy ending. And that is an all-new Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Linkin Park on K-Rock with Of Monsters and Men, Blink 182, and the Black Keys all on the way. Plus, right after the top of the hour, apparently, Ralph, Chelsea Handler is not a good person.
What?
Apparently, we are discovering she is less than a desirable human, Chelsea Handler.
Freaking hideous.
Which is weird, because I know from listening to your very popular Saturday Night Podcast with Kevin Smith that you guys are huge fans of hers and generally stick up for everything she does.
Yeah. About
that. That backwards.
Yeah. I'm going to need you to work late this weekend.
That's coming right up here on the Kevin Beat Show. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of the podcast, I want to thank the bunch of K-Rock listeners who came out Saturday night to see me and Smith perform Hollywood Babylon at Up at the Love It. Sold out again this Saturday night, so... It's getting to be a weekly thing here where we're selling out.
That's awesome.
We really appreciate it. And I know the majority of people come to see the live show are K-Rock listeners, so we certainly appreciate that. And thanks to everyone who listens around the country and the world. It is Monday morning. As we do every Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Oz the Great and Powerful, for its second week, topped the top 10 list. $42.2 million.
That's a lot of money for a second week.
That's a lot of money. That's like Veronica Mars' kickstart money. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money. The Call was second with $17.1 million. Incredible Burt Wonderstone came in third with $10 million in its debut. Jack the Giant Slayer was 3D, made $6.2 million. Identity Thief was fifth, and Snitch, 21 and over, Silver Linings Playbook, Safe Haven, and Escape from Planet Earth rounded out the rest of the top 10 at this weekend's box office.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Yeah.
What was the problem with Burt Wonderstone? Fantastic cast.
Yes.
No one went to see it.
People hate magic. That's the only thing I can imagine. Yeah, it didn't do well. The critics were not kind to it either, but I still plan on checking it out because all those people make me laugh. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go. I mentioned Veronica Mars. Congratulations again to Rob Thomas and star of Veronica Mars, Kristen Bell. They have done remarkable things over there with their Kickstarter account. Right now, it's up to about $3.7 million worth of crowdsourcing to pay for the production of the Veronica Mars movie. Stunning. Rob's looking for even more donations, by the way. He said $25 if you donate towards the production of the film will still get you a T-shirt and a copy of the shooting script. $35 gets you a digital release of the film. $50 gets you a DVD as well as other stuff. The deadline is April the 12th. So
now, why are they trying to raise more money? Are they trying to add now special effects to the film or what?
Well, as Rob said, the more money they have, $2 million was the bare bones budget for a production of this size. He said the more money they raise, the more money they can spend on different locations. They can travel with the show. They can take it to different places. It opens up the scope of what they can do. So the more money they have, the more they can put up on the screen. I don't think he's trying to make any money on this deal. So
I know you guys talked about it a lot last week while I was out, but It was fascinating that he had a 30-day goal to raise that $2 million and did it in a day. That was unbelievable.
A day, less than 12 hours, he raised $2 million. It was nuts. Olivia Wilde may be the perfect fiancé. According to the New York Post, she recently treated her fiancé, Jason Sudeikis of Saturday Night Live, to a wild night at a strip club. Olivia herself booked a private room with two pole dancers for her fiancé at the Penthouse Executive Club in New York City. They were in there for about 2 hours. Shortly after Jason announced his engagement, she picked up the entire tab, by the way. That's
show
a fiancé.
Show hands. Who else has an erection?
That's a fiancé right there who does that. That's what that happens right there.
Yeah, he's marrying the right woman.
Boy, is he ever. Emma Watson continues to have to deny that she has been cast as Anna Steele in the 50 Shades of Grey movie version of that popular book. The group of online hackers known collectively as Anonymous claim they hacked into the internal server of a German studio called Constantine Films last week and leaked several documents, including one relating to the adaptation of 50 Shades of Grey, and they say the document states that Emma Watson is attached to star in the film.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
She has been denying it. In fact, even tweeted this week, who here actually thinks I would do 50 Shades of Grey as a movie? For real life, she wrote. So she's denying it. Could be an elaborate smokescreen if they don't want to announce the news yet, but it seems like a lot of denying going on. So I'm believing that she's probably not in it.
Have you seen her in the trailer? She's the star of The Bling Ring, right? Have you seen that trailer yet? The Sofia Coppola movie?
No, I'm not familiar with that, no.
That's the one about the people who were ripping off all the rich people in Hollywood.
Lindsay Lohan's friends and whatever.
Yeah. Emma looks fantastic in that movie. I mean, she
beautiful
does.
Girl. Beautiful.
She does seem like, I know it's been tough for Daniel Radcliffe a little bit to kind of break out of being Harry Potter, even though he's been in a bunch of different movies. Emma Watson looks like this is going to be the one that's going to make us forget about Hermione.
I've forgotten about it already, just because I never really watched those films. So I'm looking forward to seeing her nude. And Lil Wayne is okay, if you believe his rapper friends. Why wouldn't you? They all seem like decent guys.
Sure.
Sure, maybe he overdoes it on the scissorp a little bit. Or as Bean would say, scissorp. But they're claiming he's fine. He's relaxing. He's resting at Cedars-Sinai. We just talked to Harvey from TMZ.com, who claims he's in intensive care for the sixth day in a row. You make the call. But I feel bad because Tone Loke is sick. I don't care about Lil Wayne. Tone Loke collapsed on stage in Iowa on Saturday night. He had just finished a song when he keeled over on stage. Paramedics checked him out, and a few minutes later, the audience was told that the show was over. As of last night, there's no word on how Tone is doing or even if he's in the hospital. Back in 2009, he collapsed during a concert in Pensacola, Florida, so he's got a history of this. Some people say he may be on the scissorp. Some people say too much funky Colt Medina. You don't know with these guys, man. They party too hard.
Who's going to see Tone Loke in 2013?
Let's hit it. I'm going. If he's in my backyard, I'm going.
Well, all right.
Uh-huh.
Funky Colt Medina.
That's right, there Tone. It bring it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pop, pop, pop. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mike Rowe, TV personality, commercial pitchman. Host of Dirty Jobs, 51 years old today. Vanessa Williams turns 50. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 47. All hail Queen Latifah.
All hail Queen Latifah.
Come on, bring it, Bean. She's 43.
I know she is.
Let's hail her. Come on, you want us to hail her before, and let's hail her now.
I we've already hailed her.
Us to hail her. You know you do.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
Yeah. She's 43. How do you sleep at night?
That's why I only did it the one year. as I realized it was not for me.
Comedian Dane Cook is 41.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Dane Cook here in the house at the MTV Movie Awards.
Right.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, what's up,
hey,
Dane?
You know what I hate?
What,
me
Dane?
Eating ice cream cone, yeah. And it's all like cold. And you're like, ah, right. And you're like, why didn't you warn me that's so cold? Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's ice cream, dude.
Right.
And you're like, oh, man, but chicks don't do that because they use a spoon.
Uh-huh.
Ah, what's up? Sufi. Yeah. Boo. Yeah. MySpace.
He still got it.
There's a joke in there somewhere. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 and The Voice is 34. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That's that little band out of Iceland called Of Monsters and Men here on the world-famous K-Rock, and their song is Mountain Sound. Speaking of new music on K-Rock, 30 Seconds to Mars, world premiere, brand new song next hour called Up in the Air. We'll be talking to Jared Leto himself from 30 Seconds to Mars coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So, Ralph Graham, and I made a reference at the beginning of your showbiz beat that Chelsea Handler, not your favorite person in the world.
She is a talentless person.
Not podcasting right now, on the radio. Is the problem that she's way more successful than her level of talent should suggest she should be? Is that what bothers you about
her? If she had any success at all, she'd be way more successful than her level of talent should provide for her. She is, I don't think she's funny at all. And then on top of it, she compounds her crimes by being very obnoxious and aggressively foul. Yeah. As a human being and as a person. And she's,
I don't watch it.
And she's kind of like a hatchet face, but yet every picture that is on the cover of her book, she's supposed to be this sex kitten or something. She just flies in the face of humanity at every opportunity.
I haven't seen her show very much. What's it on? Is it on E?
I want to say, maybe? Yeah, the network where she banged the president in order to get a TV show.
It does seem like she is extremely critical of lots of people who are very talented. Dude, that's one thing that I've noticed about her show.
I have no compunction about just slamming her as hard as I possibly can, because she is horrible to other people. Most famously, Angelina Jolie, where she called her the C word and said she's an awful person and everything. Meanwhile, Angelina's going around the world as a UNICEF ambassador, you know, helping at every step. So
donating tens of millions of dollars to charity.
Yeah, while doing that, Chelsea Handler, meanwhile, is doing other kinds of behavior, which does not involve adopting children or saving lives, as far as I can tell.
Well, she's in the news thanks to the New York Post article. This is going to get us into our topic here of restaurant behavior. Douchebags at restaurants, we're calling this. We're going to be taking your calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067 about crazy bad behavior you've seen in restaurants. Chelsea Handler apparently partying in Aspen with her boyfriend and her friend Whitney Cummings. They're very close, as you know.
Yes.
Chelsea's group, this is one source in the restaurant says, at a bistro called Cachet Cachet. Which, by the way, what a pretentious name for a restaurant that is. In Aspen, Cachet Cachet. Come on. Chelsea's group appeared to be drunk, and they were throwing bread at another guy's table.
Yeah.
Oh, come
Who was at the table? Who was at the table?
Several men in their 60s.
Right, a bunch of old dudes trying to eat a meal, and she and her drunk friends are lobbing dinner rolls at them.
Oh, they must have thought that was hilarious.
Such humor, such sophisticated levels of comedy we've never seen before. You bitch.
Chelsea introduced herself and gave one of the guys a kiss.
Oh, insult to injury.
Yeah, buy him a meal.
Yeah,
how about that?
No one needs your lips on them.
She tweeted a photo of Whitney rolling on the floor with her pants down.
People are trying to eat here.
Wow. What's happening? I mean, listen. I guess they were just smashed when they showed up at the restaurant is what it sounds
this
like.
This is
right?
on the heels of the story about her at the Chateau Marmont, where she was having dinner or a brunch or something at that hotel when she let her dogs run around the dining room, remember?
Yeah.
And they kept jumping up at people's table looking for scraps and stuff, and she did nothing to try to control her dogs while she was eating, just ignored the situation while these dogs were running around the entire restaurant.
I didn't even know you could bring your dogs into a restaurant like that.
Well,
that seems too fancy for dogs.
The Chateau Marmont, because they cater to a celebrity clientele, but it's just a hideous behavior. It's indicative of who she is at her core, how she behaves while other people are trying to have a meal at a decent restaurant.
I do feel like, and again, we want to take your calls of bad restaurant behavior that you've seen. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. I do think that your job at a restaurant, and look, I'm the last person to talk because I never go to any place fancier than IHOP, but your job at a restaurant is to be invisible to the other patrons in the restaurant.
Yes.
Let every table be its own little ecosystem, completely separate from everybody else's table. There's nothing that I should ever be doing at my table that in any way catches your eye.
Further demonstration about how to do it right and how to do it wrong. Remember, George Clooney was having a meal with his friends, and I believe they were in Germany filming a new movie, and he was concerned that they may have been speaking a little too loud.
Yes.
So what they did was he bought the dinner of the guy at the table next to him out of fear that he may have inconvenienced him on some level. That's Chelsea Handler one end of the spectrum, George Clooney on the other.
Yeah, no kidding. What have you seen, Ralph? You tend to sometimes splurge, put on a suit, and go to a nice restaurant. Have you ever had a situation where you've been, inappropriate?
Yeah, cool. I was at a nice restaurant that's since closed on Sunset. And I remember going there, and it was a really, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't super high. It was like a, you know, a suit and tie kind of place, but it was a classy upscale joint. And there was some artist types at the table next to me. Nothing wrong with that until the guy put his foot up on the table to relax, and it was barefoot. He was barefoot. And I looked over, and I was so repulsed by his bare feet. First of all, I don't like bare feet in general in any sort of public situation other than perhaps the beach beer mug. When he's wearing flip-flops to work.
To work,
ugly,
right, exactly.
Freaking hobbit feet all over the place. We got to look at him. But if you're eating a meal, you want to see someone kick back and put his bare foot up
gross.
On the table?
No,
you don't.
That's not acceptable on any level. Yeah. So I stabbed him with a steak knife.
And you did the right thing.
Thank you. No.
In I my will mind, tell you.
It was one of those fantasy flash moments. I went over and just drove a steak knife through his foot. I had pinned it to the table. Now, how do you like it? Hippie?
Bet you wish you had a shoe on now, don't you? Now, let me ask your opinion on this. Do I have any right to ever complain about somebody what somebody does at a restaurant if I'm at a Denny's?
No.
Or is Denny's anything goes?
Of course Denny's is anything goes. That's where the that's
but
where
isn't there still common decency?
And Jetsam go to eat.
Right, but isn't there still common decency of, like we talked about not interfering with other people? Like I was there the other day, and I always eat at the counter, you know, because I'm a 30s hobo.
Sure.
And there was a guy in the restaurant at the table who was talking on his cell phone in a loud voice for 20 solid minutes with no concern whatsoever about the fact that there was an entire restaurant full of other diners.
Yeah, that's
even at a Denny's, that's uncool, right?
Yeah, even at a Denny's, you shouldn't be able to get away with that.
But that's all I'm
however,
saying.
However, you are eating at Denny's, so you get what you deserve. That's why I look at it. People work their whole lives, Bean, so they don't have to eat at Denny's any longer.
I love Denny's.
It's the Kmart of food.
All right. It doesn't have to be Chelsea Handler throwing bread and rolling around, Whitney Cummings rolling around on the floor with her pants down. But we want to hear your bad behavior stories at 1-800-520-1067. What have you seen at a restaurant? Let's go to Matt. He's on line 3 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. Hi, Matt. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks for calling. What happened?
So I go to this pub place in Orange County, and me and my sister are eating dinner. This guy with fake long hair comes in. And orders a bowl of soup or something like that.
Yeah.
Starts to eat the soup and stands on his chair with the noodles coming out of his chopsticks and proceeds to try to eat the soup.
While standing on a chair?
Yeah, and then he starts standing on the table.
Could you tell why?
I don't know. I thought he was high at first, but I have no idea what he was doing.
And they didn't tell him to get down?
Later, once they saw him getting all crazy, they told him to get down or get out.
Well, we're not talking about crazy people. Honestly,
the man was mentally ill.
Wow.
Was it Beer Mug? Was it Beer Mug doing that? Did he have? Was
been.
He wearing flip flops?
Wow. Thank you, Matt, for
standing
the call.
On the table, I think, is bad form at a restaurant.
I agree. Yeah. But what if he's wearing shoes, though? If he has shoes on, it's okay, right,
Ralph? Better than bare feet.
Let's talk to Katie. I'm not sure I follow. This sounds like a bizarre story. Katie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for calling.
Oh, well, thank you. It's so great to talk to you guys. Hi.
Hi. Okay.
What happened?
So I used to work at McCormick & Schmick's in Burbank. I don't know if you're familiar.
Sure.
Oh, of
sure.
course. It's a very nice restaurant.
Oh, yeah. It's a seafood restaurant down in Burbank. And I worked there about a couple years ago in 2009 when I first moved to L.A., and when I worked there, we had a lot of high-end clientele. It was, you know, right next to the studios and things like that. And Megan Fox, Brian Austin Green, and his son would come in. This is before they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And this one time, she requested a booth. So we're like, okay, they're all going to sit in the booth together. That's totally cool. But instead, she lays down in the booth, and she requests her food in the booth. She's laying down the booth and requests two chairs for Brian Austin Green and her son outside the booth.
What?
So she's laying down in the booth, and they're sitting at chairs at the end of the booth.
At the end of the booth.
That and makes no sense.
She only wanted to eat while she was lying down?
She ate while she was lying down. And we were sitting there, and she had come in before, and she was totally behaved. But this time, I don't know what was going on. I don't know what assumptions to make. But she totally... Her legs were so ridiculous.
I think she's fine.
I think completely acceptable.
Not a problem. No problem
Anytime
whatsoever.
Megan Fox wants to lay down anywhere, it's a good idea, and we should all support it 100%.
We always prefer her laying down to standing up. All right, Katie, thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Your restaurant disaster story is next on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kevin.
28, 29, living at home. That's my age again. Oh, sorry. I was thinking of you, Beer Mug. Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Chris Hardwick talks Walking Dead coming up next. First, though, we're talking about crazy restaurant behavior based on the way Chelsea Handler embarrassed herself. Or probably not. She probably wasn't the least bit embarrassed about how miserable she made all the other people in that restaurant, right?
Nope.
Here's Katie writing in from Santa Barbara. Spicy Chinese food. Man was sweating in the restaurant I was at. He took a napkin, opened up his shirt, reached in, and wiped the sweat off his chest.
Oh, gross.
Sweet Jesus.
That's what she saw in
the restaurant. How
can these
people be so oblivious to other people's comfort levels?
Great
question.
They just
don't care, or are they not aware that what they're doing is just gross?
Let's see what Lucy thinks about the young family that she saw in a restaurant recently. She is on line six, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lucy.
Hello.
Thank you for calling and for holding on. What'd you see?
So I was at a really nice brunch with some friends and my boyfriend, and we look over in the middle of our service, and a young family has put their baby on the table and is changing its dirty diaper.
No! Come on!
Yeah.
There's no room for poop at a restaurant. No, no.
I know.
No,
not
no poop.
Not what you want to see over mimosas.
Not even babies. I get it. Babies need to be changed, but there's places you can do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I've seen babies changed on airplanes, and I've thought the same thing. You know, take the child into the restroom and do that. That's not for other people, right? I know you're used to it. It's normal in your life. The rest of us don't need to see it when there's food around.
Yeah,
thank you for
I'm in the restaurant industry, and the manager did nothing. It was really inappropriate.
I bet you didn't order the butterscotch pudding at the end of your meal.
No,
I bet not.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Heather. Heather is on line three. This one's just for you, Ralph. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Well, I used to work at Borders on the 3rd Street Promenade, and we had a very busy cafe. And a gentleman walked in. We didn't notice him at first, but we started to get complaints from people because he was completely barefoot, and he had some pretty ugly, gnarly feet, yellow toes, the whole bit.
Beer mug.
Otherwise, nicely dressed. We walked over to him, and we explained that we were getting complaints and he would need to put shoes on. He reached into his wallet, and he pulled out a card declaring himself a member of the Church of the Barefoot Pilgrim.
No.
Oh,
his religion, not to what he never wore shoes, so it's his First Amendment right to do that, and everybody else, if they had a problem with it, they could leave. And
how
he had
about
no shoes
that?
To put on.
What about no shirt, no shoes, no service?
Well, apparently it's not an enforceable law, we learned, because
This is like people who smoke weed as part of their religion, or they grow out the hair or whatever. That's amazing that worked for him. And of course, there is no church like that. He just made it up, right?
He did. He had some cards printed. He's claiming First Amendment. There was nothing we could do.
That's starting amazing. A new church called the Our Lady of the Throat Punch. And I'm going to punch that guy in the throat and say, "Oh, it's part of my religion. I have to punch you in the larynx."
Thank you, Heather, for the call. We appreciate you listening, especially since all Heathers are hot. Let me close with this from Louie. During my table waiting days, I worked at this little mom-and-pop place for about a month. One night, the restaurant's pretty empty. There's this older couple in one of the booths. I'm standing at the bus station, and I hear this weird clicking noise. I look over at their booth, and the old man who has finished his dinner is cutting his fingernails under the table while his wife finishes eating.
No.
Can we talk to Nicole real quick before we go?
Yes.
Close out with Nicole, because this, I think this is a pretty unique situation.
Hi, Nicole. What's up?
Hi. Good morning. When I went to a hometown buffet, a lot of elderly people go there because they have a great discount. But this elderly gentleman sit down at the table right next to us and proceeded to take his prosthetic nose off.
Come on! You can't do that! I don't need to see inside your head when I'm eating.
It was just a black hole.
Oh, God.
Who's hungry?
So your rule, Ralph, would be whatever body parts you walk in with have to stay attached to your body at all times while you're eating.
I would say no shoes, no shirt, no nose, no service. I would add that to the list.
20 minutes from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, we are going to be world premiering brand new music from our friends in 30 Seconds to Mars. Their new song is called Up in the Air, and we'll be talking to Jared Leto from the band. 20 minutes from right now at 8 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, give me a little Walking Dead theme, would you there, Muggs? Only two episodes left for season number three. Lisa May, I'm so sad that you didn't watch last night.
I miss it every Sunday, and then we have to talk about it. I'm used to it.
And then we have to spoil it for you, because how could we not talk about the best show on TV? Our friend Chris Hardwick, host of The Talking Dead that airs on AMC Sunday nights immediately after, joins us on the phone like he do. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good. How's it going?
good.
Going fine. I always like it when we talk to you in your sexy Monday morning voice. You're still in bed, right?
No, I'm not still in bed. I'm on East Coast time because I went to South by Southwest and then I had to perform on the East Coast. So I was I'm actually all good to go.
That's very kind of you. If you want to be exhausted, follow Chris on Twitter at Nerdist, because I swear to God, like every hour you're in a different city. You'll tweet from San Francisco, and the next thing I know, you're in Dayton, Ohio. I'm like, how does this guy live the way he goes?
Yes, it's pretty. I'm in more airports. I've mashed more things into 2.5 ounce bottles. I don't recommend my lifestyle.
I bet you have. Well, last night, another great panel on The Talking Dead, including, I really loved Todd McFarlane from the toy company. He had some very interesting insights into the episode last night. What a smart guy that dude is.
Well, he did. I mean, you know, like Todd has created Spawn. Like he's a comic book legend. So he watches the show from the standpoint of someone who, you know, like I bet he's watching going, oh, if I were writing the show, here's what I would do. So this is probably what they're thinking. And he picked up on all the little small things and basically said, you know, nothing's accidental. So every little thing. So like, you know, spoiler alert, when the governor is laying out all of these torture tools, you know, Todd picked up on every single one and he's like, oh yeah, and you would have twine to make sure that if you cut something off that you would stop the bleeding so you could keep torturing someone. It's that kind of stuff that I would never have picked up on.
Let's think about that for a second. What can the governor have in mind for now? Originally, he was probably setting the room up for Michonne, I imagine, planning to get her back to seek revenge on her killing his daughter. But now it looks like Andrea is going to be his victim. What terrible things is he going to be doing to her with those tools, Chris? It's horrific to think about, isn't it?
There was so much bad news on that. Well, there were a lot of bone saws. There were like Victorian. There was a Victorian bone saw. There was a modern bone saw. There was a speculum for some reason. There was
a speculum. Lisa May. There was a speculum on The Walking Dead. That can't be used for good things, right?
That would
really disturbing. And so I think he all of the rage that he had at Michonne. She's not there, so he's basically apparently taking all that out on poor Andrea.
Yeah. Now, the governor, he seems to be losing. I mean, besides the fact that he has his cool exterior has cracked now, he clearly is operating from a really emotional like point of anger and sadness. He's got a lot of emotions going on that I felt like he was doing a pretty good job for most of this season containing and just being calm, cool and collected. Now he's also losing support. Obviously, new people like Therese and Sasha are not behind everything he's done. Andrea obviously has turned on him now that she knows he's a monster. Now it looks like he's even lost Milton, who has essentially been his, you know, his right-hand man this whole time.
Yeah, there was basically a zombie barbecue. And so what we assume from it is that what Milton was responsible on is Milton actually stands up to him, which is awesome because Milton's usually just been, you know, oh yes, whatever you say, okay, I'll be quiet, you know,
just don't hurt me.
Yeah,
basically,
but it was really awesome to be like, hey, it was a shame that all those zombies went up, and you know, like it was really cool at the end to see that turn. But I think the governor, you remember remember Michael Douglas movie Falling Down?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. The governor is basically falling down.
Yeah.
Totally.
He's just completely cracked.
It was it was kind of a strange episode. I mean, the one thing about The Walking Dead that I find so fascinating, and this is why one episode of The Walking Dead is never representative of the whole series, is there are some that are just adrenaline-fueled, like minute by minute, you can't even keep up with it, so much happens. And then there are episodes last night that kind of breathe a little bit. I mean, that was a pretty long chase sequence of the governor going after Andrea, but I thought it was so brilliantly done. And you had Laurie Holden on, the actress who plays Andrea, and she talked about how when they were filming that thing in that big warehouse, she didn't even know where it was going, and she was honestly reacting with the way, you know, the way David Morrissey was playing the scene. And I thought that was really cool the way they shot that.
Yeah, I mean, you basically, even leading up to the warehouse, you had these sequences where there was like, you know, just a huge cat and mouse game, and you know, he's basically a super predator, totally dragging her down in the warehouse scene. It was such a, you know, when she flings the door open at the end, that was such a F yeah moment. I mean, I thought it paid off really well. And I honestly, and again, huge spoiler alert, I didn't see the end coming, even though I know it's The Walking Dead and usually like, well, in the last 2 minutes, something messed up happens a lot. I really thought it was going to be a fuzzy ending where it's like, oh, she's come back and the prisons as if finally accepted her after all this time. And she's, you know, she's finally come home. And I did not see, like, popping up in the weeds and then, you know, dragging her back.
No, No, that was bad times. I was also surprised, and again, spoiler alert, you know, to the nth degree if you haven't seen last night's episode, but I was also surprised to see, of course, we knew the governor wouldn't get killed, but how could anyone get away from that many zombies when you're out of bullets? I mean, what was his, how did he do it?
You know, sheer force of will. He's kind of a mega dick now, so he's, the zombies were no... You know,
no match for his rage.
They were no match for this rage. Like, you know, when Andrea's going up, he like runs out. You basically hear him like, ah! Like he totally he's completely gone over the edge. And when in the scene when he pulls back into Woodbury and she was so close to the prison, she was so close. Like,
so close
that moment. But when he pulls into Woodbury and the window rolls down, he's like, yeah, I couldn't find her. And you know that it was. And the window's just cracked a little bit, so you can't see inside. And they never showed inside, so she's obviously, like, tied up in a ball.
Tied up, yeah. There's only two episodes left, Chris. I know that you always get them in advance, but you usually don't like to watch. How can you resist at this point not wanting to see where it heads next?
Because if I watch that episode today, what happens is that I can't talk about it with anyone all week. And that seriously that bugs me, because it's... I think the last two episodes, I'm told, both feel like season finales.
Yeah.
In the preview for next week, all we saw was basically a scene between Merle and Rick, where Merle is basically saying to Rick, like, you're actually the cold bastard. It's not, you know, like because they have this whole deal with Michonne, where the governor's like, give us Michonne and then I'll leave you alone. And now you don't know what Rick's going to do at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's getting down to it, man. Two episodes left. It's going to be so sad when the show goes away. It has been so outstanding this season, and The Talking Dead just gets better and better. I love the fact that they have a soundtrack coming out on Tuesday. You've been featuring music from that, live performances in your studio. That's going to be awesome. The music sounds great from that as well, too.
Yeah. It's been really cool. The show's actually starting to feel like a real talk show where we have bands and guests and clips and stuff. And what am I going to do every Monday morning now, man? Should I just call in and tell you about my dinner the night before?
I guess so. We're going to have to do something. Well, yeah, you're doing a terrific job, and it's a real credit to The Walking Dead that the show is so awesome that we have to talk about it for another hour after it's off. But that's AMC on Sunday nights, and of course, by the time The Walking Dead goes away, then Mad Men comes back. So maybe that's the recap, Chris. We'll start talking about Mad Men on Monday mornings.
Even though AMC might not want me to, I'll do it anyway.
Nerdist.com. Follow Chris on Twitter @Nerdist. You're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Lisa Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. But first, grand prize drawing as promised. Who's going to be seeing Phoenix performing in New York City on Saturday Night Live, Beer Mom?
It's going to be Kelly Penner of Pasadena.
Yay! Kelly Penner of Pasadena, congratulations. You are the winner of destination number 6, 7, whatever it was, to go see Phoenix in New York. Keep listening for your chance to see System of a Down in Milan, Italy. That's what's up this week. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then we'll talk to Jared Leto and world premiere some brand new 30 Seconds to Mars music. Good morning, Ralph.
You'll get to see Phoenix in Sunday Live in New York City.
That's correct.
Till the case is solved.
You know those guys from Phoenix that sound exactly like Inspector Clouseau.
Yes, they're Frenchies, right?
Thank you for coming to see us in New York City. I thought you said your dog didn't bite.
So, congratulations to that person. Hey, while we're giving stuff away, how about me? Why don't I give something away? Like me, are you excited to see G.I. Joe?
Yeah!
Retaliation, the second G.I. Joe movie, is coming out in theaters everywhere March the 28th. How would you like to see a very special K-Rock advanced screening of G.I. Joe? Retaliation, March 26th at the AMC Burbank. Great cast. You got Channing Tatum. You got Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Bruce Willis.
Wow.
You got Adrian Pilecki.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So call now, why don't you? 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through get tickets to see the advanced screening of G.I. Joe!
Are they still fighting Cobra, Ralph? Do you know?
Of course they are.
They're always fighting Cobra, right?
Yeah, and who's the silver-faced dude?
Snake Eyes.
No. Stop it, Beer Mug.
Sorry.
Either be helpful or
shut up.
I'm
sorry.
Who's the guy, the commander, right? Is that what he's called? The guy with
you got
the
me.
Face?
I didn't see it.
It's not just the movie. It's just the G.I. Joe legendary G.I. Joe.
Yeah, we didn't.
Destro.
Sure. Let's just say Destro.
You people don't know, man. You don't know. You weren't there. Today's celebrity birthdays?
No, wait. Hold on.
You're getting cheesed off. Your B-roll is going to run. But let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Oz the Great and Powerful. Second week in a row, it was number one. $42.2 million. Pretty strong. The Call came in at number two in its debut weekend with just $17 million. Incredible Burt Wonderstone was third with a little over $10 million. Jack the Giant Slayer was fourth. And then Identity Thief still in the top five. Snitch, 21 and over. Silver Linings Playbook, Safe Haven. And Escape from Planet Earth round out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Dry your tears, boys and girls. I know it's hard news to hear, but yes, it sounds like indeed Ryan Seacrest and Julianne Hough have broken up. Ryan, the host of American Idol, of course, and Julianne Hough, who got famous on Dancing with the Stars, is one of the dancers, now is an actress. They broke up. Ryan's reason was busy work schedule. He's doing a lot of stuff and maybe didn't have time for a relationship. Julianne Hough decided she wants to start dating men. So, you know, when you come to those kind of big decisions in your life, S is going to go down.
By the way, hasn't Ryan Seacrest had the exact same busy work schedule since the minute they started dating? And they've managed to make it last for the last 3 years. Why all of a sudden is it a problem?
Well, she's busier now. Maybe that's why.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
She's got that new film, Safe Haven, that she's been plugging. And she's doing a new movie about ballroom dancing with her brother, Derek. And so maybe her schedule doesn't accommodate his hair products anymore. Too much grooming time together. Linda Lohan! We're still watching to see if she makes it to the courtroom in time. 8:30 this morning is when her hearing is scheduled to start. We heard she had missed a couple flights. She was partying in New York City. She was supposed to be here. Missed a couple flights, but she did catch a private plane thanks to the people at Mr. Pink.
Oh, this is so annoying that somebody is stepping up to give her a private plane for her to come back to L.A. for trial.
I don't know what kind of business Mr. Pink has, but I can imagine if it's...
Energy drink. Man.
Oh, yeah, sure, that's what it is. Yeah. Mr. Pink, hello. Use your common sense, Bean. She did tweet this morning, thanks to Mr. Pink for lending their private jet to get her to L.A. on time. But we still don't know whether she'll make it or not. We'll have to wait and see.
She's about 2 years away from making a movie called Mr. Pink.
She'll be doing court in about a half an hour, so we'll keep you posted. And sad news. First, Ryan breaks up with Julianne. Now this. ABC has announced Bachelor Pad has been canceled after 3 seasons. Damn. Loved Bachelor Pad.
Did you?
Bachelor Pad was all the best lunatics from The Bachelor and Bachelorette forced to live in a house and compete against each other.
I don't even know what that is.
You had never seen so much drama crammed into one mansion before.
Was this the guys and the girls from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette all living together?
The losers will all live together, then have to compete for big cash prizes. And if you thought they were competitive when they were trying to get love, you should wait to see they're trying to get money. It's brutal.
Now, I was on vacation last week, so I missed it. Were you generally pleased with the outcome of The Bachelor this time? Were you happy that he picked the chick from Seattle?
Well, no. The obvious choice was Desiree. She was the winner by far. She was beautiful and sweet and wonderful and magical.
She was not in the final two?
He cut her. She was the third. She got to third place before he booted her. And then out of the two remaining, I mean, he had to go to Catherine. We all understood that. But the good news was that Desiree, who America fell in love with, now will be coming back as the Bachelorette. So she will get she'll get her shot at love, too. So.
Isn't that a little bit of a burn on the girl who came in second?
Yeah,
she
it
doesn't
is.
Get to.
Well, because no one liked her. No one liked Lindsay. She was a bit of a dullard.
Wow, okay.
So we cast her off, but we raise Desiree up on our shoulders and we'll carry her around for a while.
Who gives it, damn?
I do. And this guy does something that I'm surprised Bean hasn't invested in on Kickstarter. You know Bean, he loves to give money to people, take pictures of corn and things
I do.
Like that.
Yes.
Well, this guy named Steve Cassino, first of all, greatest name ever, Steve Cassino. He works out of the UK, and his art form is painting caricatures of celebrities onto peanuts. Yes. He takes the outer shells of peanuts and then paints celebrity caricatures onto them. He says it takes him around 10 hours to complete each peanut. I spent a lot of time finding a peanut that's the right shape for the person I'm making.
Sure.
Then I remove the nuts, glue it back together, and prepare to paint. So far in his collection, he's got Elton John, Johnny Cash, Sean Connery, and Alfred Hitchcock. His celebrity peanuts include. So
what's he looking for money for, just so that he can get paid to do that full time?
I don't even know if he's looking for money. I'm just saying if he is, you're the kind of guy that
invest in him. Totally.
This story comes out of the UK about Steve Cassino and his painted nuts. So You would love that. If you would give a guy who takes pictures of corn money, you would give the peanut guy money, right?
Isn't it crazy the stuff that people fall in love with, that they become attracted to? Like, that's his passion, is painting celebrities' portraits on peanut shells. Yes. That's what he does. He wakes up in the morning. He can't wait to get out there and start painting on a peanut.
As soon as the Our Lady of the Throat Punch opens up my new church, there's going to be a lot of people coughing.
Oh, nuts.
Today's celebrity birthday is Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Yeah, he's 34 years old today. Queen Latifah, singer. She's 43 years old today. Do you guys just have an endless supply of bad in you,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, we do.
Dane Cook's 41. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains is 47 years old. Vanessa Williams, singer and actress, turns 50.
And Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs and Ford commercials. Hey, I like tires.
He's 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
That song just played on K-Rock. That is brand new music from 30 Seconds to Mars, Up in the Air, world premiere from the forthcoming album out May 21st called Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams. Speaking of 30 Seconds to Mars, the band is in Houston today at NASA, as I understand, and I believe currently holding the phone is our old friend Jared Leto. Hey, Jared, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, I got a couple of surprise guests, too. Tomo and Shannon and some friends from NASA are with us right now. So very exciting to hear the song. Thanks for having us.
Way to hear the song on the radio for the first time anywhere in the world and have it be over a speakerphone. That's not what we envisioned, is it?
I just said the same thing. And not only is it a speakerphone, it's a speaker from probably 1962. So it was.
Tell me about NASA. This is like a lifelong dream of mine to be at Mission Control in Houston. What's it like, guys?
It's incredible. We're at the Johnson Space Center right now. For those people that are listening and don't know what we've done, we sent our music up into space, literally. We put it on a rocket about 2 weeks ago. We were in Florida there watching the SpaceX Dragon capsule get pushed into the into the middle of space, and now our music is floating around up there. So it's a pretty exciting thing. We're here in Houston, and we're going to be talking to some astronauts very shortly.
Oh, that's so, so exciting. I don't know about you. I mean, are any of you guys in the band, are you like space junkies like I have been my whole life? Like this stuff, I am turgid right now just with the thought of what you guys are doing.
Oh, it's amazing. My brother and I, our grandfather was in the Air Force and then the FAA, so aviation was always a big part of our lives, and I think we got into, you know, NASA and space because of that. But we used to come visit him in Houston and always drive by NASA. So, you know, there's a bit of a history there, and it's incredible. We've been here today and seen things that I'm not so sure many people have seen before.
That's right.
We may even met some creatures other people haven't seen.
Oh.
Technologies, and we may have transported ourselves through time.
That's awesome. So the guys on the International Space Station, have they already heard that song? Is that who you sent it to?
Yes, we sent it up, and that was the very first listen was from space, and we're going to be talking to them in a little bit. But you guys premiered the song right here on K-Rock, and that's always fun because this is our hometown station.
Sure. Tell us about Up in the Air. We just heard the song. We're going to be playing it a bunch, obviously, in the days and weeks and months and probably years to come. But tell me what Up in the Air is all about and why you picked that as the first single from the new album.
Well, we thought it's a great beginning of a long conversation that we're going to be having with this album. It's a nice way to start things off. It's got a lot of energy. This is a brand new experience for us. This album is a completely new direction. It's much more than even an evolution. It's a brand new beginning. So I think Up in the Air starts that conversation off really well. It also feels like it could have been something off of our very first album in a way.
Are those the same kids doing the background vocals that we heard on Kings and Queens? Did you call them back up and have them come back in?
Yes, and it is actually a lot of the same people. It's you know, in the last album we had an event called The Summit, so we kind of extended that, and yeah, it's an important part of this song, too.
You guys have sold over 5 million albums, by the way. Does that blow your mind?
It does blow my mind.
What?
Especially these days. It is weird. We don't really think about like album sales or any of that stuff too much, We stay pretty focused on the creative. We've been in the studio for 2 years, and, you know, this is a huge day for us. We're launching the very first single off the new album, and it was exciting even to hear you say the name of the album. Tomo and Shannon and I all kind of looked at each other and were smiling because that was the first time we had heard anyone say the name of the album, which is Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams. So
yeah, and tell me about that title, too. People always want to know. I mean, that covers an awful lot of ground. Are those the themes that are addressed in the songs on the record?
It's interesting because this is a question we'll be asked incessantly for the next 2 years, and this is the first time we're going to answer it by saying none of your business. I think those four words all mean something very special to us. They are themes that come up repeatedly on the album. Each of those words is used at least once in every single song on the album. So there were a lot of reasons. But we also love the way that it sounds and looks.
We're talking to Jared Leto. He's got the whole band with him, 30 Seconds to Mars, at Houston's Mission Control right now. We just world premiered their brand new song, Up in the Air. If you missed it, we're going to play it for you again coming up here in just a minute on K-Rock. In the past, Jared, you've done so much interactive stuff with your fans where you've had them kind of contribute to your videos and your album covers and everything like that. Have you sat down and talked about what kinds of things you want to do with this new record?
Well, sending our song into space was probably a great first step for us, and a really a big dream come true. So that was a really fun place to start. There are a lot of other things that we're going to be working on in the next, or releasing and announcing in the next few weeks and months before our album comes out. And we're really excited to get back on the road.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is what kind of plans? Last time you went out for 2 years, are you up for that again, or will it be something smaller?
I think who knows? It could be 3 this year. You never know. It depends. It depends how we do. But we did tour so much last time, we broke the Guinness World Record for the longest tour ever, which we didn't set out to do, but
just so happened.
Your tour was longer than the Grateful Dead's, which is still going on and started in 1967.
Yeah, I mean, I think Guinness has all the kind of parameters set, and, you know, it's about how long you take a break or not. But we did about 311 shows for about 2 years, which is a show every other day, basically.
Wow.
For over 2 years straight. So it was fun, and we had a year and a half off the road working on this album, and we're excited to get back out there and play live. It's a huge part of our life, and we're excited about it.
Of course, yeah. Now, listen, I'm going to let you go because I know you got some astronauts on the line that you're going to be talking to. What are you going to talk to them about? Like, what have you always wanted to know of people who are living in space, essentially?
Well, I'll turn the tables and give you a chance to ask a question. If you want us to ask a question, let us know. Is there anything you want us to ask them?
I want somebody from NASA to admit that there has been sex in space. So far, they always deny it, but it has to have happened, especially with the space station when people are up there for months at a time, right?
I mean, you know, I'll see if I can get that past quality control here over. and see if your question goes through the censorship bureau.
All right. Listen, I know you got to go. Let me give out the details one more time. Up in the Air, we'll play it again for you coming up immediately here on K-Rock. We world premiered it. It's the brand new song from 30 Seconds to Mars. Our friends Jared and Shannon and Tomo, who we love so much and have been part of the K-Rock family for so long. We're so happy to have you guys back. The album is coming out on May 21st. Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams. I know we'll be seeing you soon. I won't mention the words that rhyme with peony post, but I hope we see you really soon, guys. And it's a pleasure to have you back on the phone.
Hey, let me just say something, man. We love you guys. We are so proud to be a part of what you're doing. We love K-Rock. Hello to all our friends and family in L.A. This is a huge day for us. And thank you guys so much for being there for us. We really appreciate it. And we're going to tell everybody up in space you said hi to.
You bet. Talk to you guys soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Let me tell you something about Jared Leto, lead singer of that band 30 Seconds to Mars, who, by the way, we just talked to on the phone minutes ago before we world premiered that brand new song called Up in the Air. He's dreamy.
Oh, I know. Tell me something I don't know.
I'm no Mo, but Jared Leto, dreamy, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Very talented band. Very happy to welcome 30 Seconds to Mars back to K-Rock again from their forthcoming album, Love, Lust, Faith, and Dreams, coming out on May 21st. That is good, good stuff. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. I want to congratulate real quick Andrea Munoz from Whittier. She just won tickets for System of a Down, playing July 29th at the Hollywood Bowl. And she's qualified for a trip to see them play in Milan, Italy. Got details at krock.com. Lisa, you talk about this story last week when I was on vacation about Khloe Kardashian, about how she was so nervous when she was to host the X Factor for the first time last season that she contemplated faking a heart attack to get out of having to show up.
We did discuss that, yes. And we were thinking there were other things that you could do much more easily, like stomach flu. Because if you're having a heart attack, you have to go to the hospital, don't you?
Yeah, it does seem like you're inviting more drama than is necessary. But she's, of course, been fired from the show, or as the way they're putting it, has not been invited back.
Yeah.
Look, when Mario Lopez is invited back to a show and you're not, that says something about your ability. But let's find out more from Khloe what the heck is going on. I believe we have Khloe Kardashian on the phone with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Khloe.
Hi, Ryan. Hi. Nope. Sorry about Julianne. I really thought you two could work it out.
Nope, Kevin and Bean Show here. Khloe, as it always is when we go to you on the phone, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Well, we're fine, but I'm with Lisa. It seems like it's an awfully elaborate prank and stunt to contemplate faking a heart attack just to get out of a TV appearance.
Well, that's the only way you could really get out of something like that. If you say, oh, I just have a cold or something, it won't come in anyway. You know, it's television. The show must go on. But if you say you have a heart attack or something, then they have to take you seriously, and then they'd have to not do the show without me.
Well, the show goes on whether you're there or not. I think Mario Lopez is obviously capable of handling it without whatever it is you brought.
We decided to go separate directions. That's what happened.
Oh, okay.
Get it right, lamestream media.
You turned out to be terrible on that show, though. A heart attack would have been better for all of us.
I don't appreciate that kind of talk, and I don't want to have this conversation.
Khloe, you're fine. Nope.
Oh, thank God, I'm better now.
You're fine, Khloe. No. There's nothing wrong with you.
Oh, I had a heart attack. It was awful.
No, you didn't have a heart
attack. You have to feel sorry for me.
You can't have a heart attack every time you have to do something you don't want to do. No one will believe that.
Oh, I really had one. It was horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Feel sorry for me. Send me presents.
Although, I can understand that it would be tough for you to carry that much weight on your frame. It must be tough on your heart.
I don't want to talk about... I don't want to talk about that. Let's go on something else.
Are you okay now, Khloe?
Yes, I'm better now. I had a quick heart attack, but I'm better.
Was that you doing your own clear? You're handling the paddles yourself personally?
No. I don't want to talk about that question. It's a bad question. Okay, I'm better now.
No one is really buying this at all. Look, what are you going to do now that you got fired from the X Factor job? You got fired from hosting a reality show, Khloe. What's next for you?
I still have my own reality show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Uh-huh, and Khloe and Courtney and Kim and everybody taking Miami, right?
Right, and I'm married to basketball legend Lamar Odom.
Uh-huh, fringe player Lamar Odom.
Go Clippers!
Go Clippers. Playoffs coming up, sure.
And so my life is wonderful, and I'm still sexy and svelte, and I couldn't be better. I don't need stupid X Factor anyway.
Well, fortunately, X Factor doesn't need you either, so I think that works out well for everybody.
I don't want to talk about that.
Ralph Garman comes up with a showbiz beat next here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Then we got a brand new Bean's Death Corner on the way. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Monday morning. I know what you're thinking, guys. It's only March. Why are we talking about the NFL? But there's been so much stuff going on with the NFL, so much football news that I've been wanting to talk about, that I asked if we could get Andrew Siciliano, our friend from the NFL Network, to come in. But he apparently is in Phoenix at something called the League Owners Meetings, which sounds deadly dull. Andrew, yeah. What goes on at those meetings?
There are a lot of meetings and a lot of decisions being made. Actually, you know what? There's stuff that fans would be interested in
really?
That there are a lot of rule changes or little tweaks, I think, to the rules that the competition committee will take up on Wednesday. And Raider fans would want to know that, in all likelihood, matter of fact, it is considered almost, I don't want to say a certainty, but it is thought that it's very likely that the infamous Tuck rule will be thrown out.
Tell me about the Tuck rule.
Okay, the Tuck rule is, go back to January of 2002, the Raiders and the Patriots in the snow in Foxborough, Tom Brady's hit by Charles Woodson, he fumbled, clearly, but they went deep into the rule book to find something called the Tuck rule, which gives the quarterback the ability to not fumble the football, I guess you want to say that. Anyway, look, it's an old rule that nobody likes. It went against the Raiders, and believe me, Raider fans to this day are angry and bitter and angry and bitter about it.
But none of them can write letters, though, right? So at least there's that.
Well, how about the Raiders themselves, when news came out last week that this rule was likely going to get overturned, the Raiders, on their official Twitter page, sent out a picture of Tom Brady fumbling and said, Tuck rule, question mark, it's only 11 years, 3 months, and they counted it down to the day from the actual fumble.
Wow, way to carry a grudge. Now, That's a rule that doesn't sound like, as you said, it's pretty obscure. They dug that one out deep in the rule book. That doesn't get used that often. But the one that everybody was talking about last week, the one that many people, including Emmett Smith, have come out and bashed, is this using the crown of the helmet rule. Now, This a lot of people are saying now you're stripping away the essence of what makes football great. Please explain that for our listeners, Andrew.
Okay, a couple of things. Here's what they're going to do, and I think this will pass as well. They're going to make it illegal for the ball carrier, running back, Emmitt Smith, for example, to lower his head in the tackle box, that's hard to define, but near the line of scrimmage, and just use his helmet as a battering ram. Now, that doesn't mean he cannot lead with his head a little bit. That doesn't mean you can't lower your head to brace for a tackle. The one example that people can remember from last year was week one, where Trent Richardson of the Browns took off the helmet of Kurt Coleman of the Eagles. He lowered his head and used it like a medieval battering ram. Those are the plays which are going to be outlawed. Now, the question is, what's actually flagged? How difficult will it be for the officials to throw the flag on plays like that? And how much leeway will they give? You know, a lot of times a receiver goes over the middle, he gets drilled, and the official throws the flag because it looked bad and the crowd went, ooh. But when you slow it down, you realize it was a clean hit. Mm-hmm. I think the officials will probably have a little more leeway. I don't think it's going to change the game as much as Emmitt Smith and Marshall Faulk and everyone else going to get angry about it.
That sounds like it'd be incredibly difficult to call that one correctly most of the time, just because, like you said, there's various degrees of how much your head is down. When a guy is hitting a guy, you can't see where every inch of everything is.
Exactly. And you need to protect yourself as well from when someone's trying to tackle you. Look, if someone's trying to tackle me, I need to brace myself for the tackle. And that's what a lot of defensive backs will tell you these days, or wide receivers will tell you, that when the wide receiver goes over the middle, he catches the ball. When the defensive back goes to tackle him, he's not lined up to hit him in the helmet, but by the time the receiver catches it and braces himself for the impact, he lowers his head. Now it's
right.
On the helmet, now you get flagged.
Right.
And in a perfect world, you'd be able to call this stuff like it was the Matrix, and Neo could see the bullets whizzing by him in slow motion, but it isn't the Matrix, and that's the problem that we have, is that you try to officiate a game to make it safer, and everybody wants to make it safer, yet at the same time, it's almost impossible to call on the field.
But you still think it's going to pass?
It's going to pass.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if it didn't pass. But again, then the question comes down to, how is it actually officiated on the field?
Sure. Andrew Siciliano on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We love Andrew year-round. Of course, NFL Network goes year-round. There's always plenty to talk about in the world of football, and especially right now with all the trades that are going on. How much did Wes Welker hate New England that he was willing to leave that team?
Well, you know, the money was somewhat similar. They gave him about $1 million a year more in Denver than in New England. At first, I thought it was pure spite. And then when I interviewed Wes last week, when I saw Wes do his press conference, I don't think it was spite. I think he was really disappointed to leave, and I think that the Broncos simply made him a little bit of a better offer, and the Patriots' offer to him was poor. Let's put it that way. The Patriots decided to go younger in Danny Amendola, who's a similar player. They even went to the same school. Granted, he hasn't had the same success that Wes Welker has had, but they got him from the Rams. I think the Patriots made the conscious decision to move on. They set the price point and didn't budge. I think Welker really wanted to go back.
That is a real surprise to me. And I know these are the tough calls that you make, and you look like a genius if you pull the plug at the right time, you know. But he, to me, still seems like a quality player and an important part of the puzzle in New England if they want to win another Super Bowl.
He is, and they're rolling the dice. Look, he's going to be 32,
And the Patriots decided at 32 we're only spending X number of dollars. And you see, look, a lot of people thought when Tom Brady did his new contract that Tom Brady took less money that would give them more flexibility to re-sign guys like Westbrook.
Yeah, that's what I thought, right.
It does. But at the same time, the Patriots stick to their guns. They have a price. They don't go over it. They think they know what you're worth. And if you don't want the money, go ahead. And there have been countless Patriots who have decided to move on over the years. Some have success elsewhere. Some do not. I think Wes will have success in Denver because he's with Peyton Manning. I mean, that's pretty much a no-brainer. Look, the rich got richer in that regard. Peyton has a new toy to play with, and it's going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I would hate to be playing the Broncos this year. Look, there's so many other interesting trades, but I just want to talk to you about one more just because I'm so fascinated with Mike Wallace, $60 million to play for the Dolphins. Does that make financial sense to you?
Well, again, it's NFL money. It's funny money. So here's what you have to understand when you hear NFL contracts. Like, for example, it's so great. It still annoys me that 6-7 years ago when Michael Vick went to prison, everyone breathlessly said on afternoon talk shows, he threw away $120 million. No, he didn't. That's the paper on the contract. That's not what the contract is worth. So in NFL contracts, because they're not guaranteed, you only have to find out how much signing bonus is there and really how much is locked up in the first couple of years. So Mike Wallace gets a $12 million average, but there is no way he sees $60 million out of that.
$27 guaranteed, though.
There's your guaranteed money, and I'm happy for Mike Wallace. He had a bad season. But the difference here is that people were willing to go to Miami this year, and people think that just because LeBron went to the Heat that everybody wants to play in South Beach. The Dolphins the last couple of years have had real trouble getting people to take their free agent money. No one wanted to play for that team. Now that Mike Wallace went there, a couple of other guys went there as well, now the tide turns and people actually kind of want to play for the Dolphins.
That's nice. Hey, look, the best thing for any league is parity. I mean, the more good teams you have, the better it is for the sport. So I'm always excited when you see teams like that kind of upgrade. You know what I mean?
Right. Playoff turnover. It happens every year.
Exactly. Well, listen, so much more we'll have to talk about next time. Andrew Siciliano, NFL Total Access, airs Monday through Thursdays at 4 on the NFL Network. And, of course, during the season on the Red Zone DirecTV. Have fun in Phoenix, man. Go catch yourself a spring training game if you have time, too.
Oh, yeah. I'll have a beer.
go watch yourself some Indians. All right, man. Thanks for coming on. Good to talk to you. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm sure you're just like me. When you hear Lisa say the word Osborne, immediately your mind goes to Norman Osborne, father of Peter Parker's best friend Harry and also Secret Identity of the Green Goblin, right?
Yeah. That's exactly where your head goes.
Like in a split second, boom, that's what you're thinking about.
I couldn't even get through
you're
it almost.
Green Goblin. You're probably distracted by all that Spider-Man thought, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I know, it's crazy. It's automatic. Everyone feels not, that way. Right?
Not Jeffrey Osborne, which is where I think of.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
From the band LTD?
No.
The Stay With Me Tonight guy? No. That's what I think of.
No, not Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh, I'm confused then.
Dear Lord in heaven. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office from over the weekend. Oz the Great and Powerful continues to be the number one movie in America. $42.2 million in its second week.
How was it, Lisa, for reals?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, Franco, what's his name?
James Franco.
James Franco is definitely the weak link, and I kept imagining Robert Downey Jr. Doing those lines and how much better it would be, and yet I still really enjoyed it. I got a little teary-eyed at the end, and it was really good.
How's my Mila? How's the coon?
She's great. Yeah. She's great. And, oh, she gets so evil.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
Yeah, way to go. Way to ruin it for us, Lisa.
I mean, there's a wicked witch in this story. There's a wicked witch in this story.
We didn't. Spoiler alert.
So sorry.
The Call with Halle Berry was number two at the box office with $17 million. The incredible Burt Wonderstone was a little less than incredible at the box office this weekend. Just made a hair over $10 million. That was good enough to make it number three. However, Jack the Giant Slayer was fourth, and Identity Thief was fifth. Snitch, 21 and Over, Silver Linings Playbook, Safe Haven, and Escape from Planet Earth, number 10, the box office this weekend. None of that's going to matter, man, this Friday when the inappropriate movie comes out. Or inappropriate comedy, I guess it's called. Yeah.
What? I don't...
The new Rob Schneider film.
I'm sorry, that one has escaped me, Ralph.
Take America by Storm.
I have not seen that Rob has a new film out.
You guys don't know. Hey, congratulations, Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman. One of Hollywood's favorite couples, say they have reconciled after a five-month splinter calling off their divorce.
Well, you don't see that very often.
No, you don't. Apparently, they are back together again at 68 and 64, respectively. They've been married since 1982. during the run of Taxi and have three grown children, so they're going to make it work. Separation sometimes actually does bring people back together. Didn't work for Jillian Barbary, or Jillian Reynolds. Jillian Barbary Reynolds and her husband, Grant Reynolds, she said that she is going to divorce the actor after 6 years. They call the decision mutual, however.
Mm-hmm.
He's a special man, and we have two amazing children together, she said.
Oh, they're going to be friends forever, Ralph.
Of
come
course
on.
They are. They're celebrities. That's how
everybody always gets divorced right when they're getting along great.
Yeah. Has anyone been following the Lindsay update? Do we know if Lindsay has appeared in the courtroom or not? Has anyone heard? I've been looking for news, and
know.
I can't find it.
TMC earlier said
they must have a live camera outside the courtroom.
Probably wasn't
going
to make it.
I know.
Here we go. Trial begins. Lindsay's plane landed at 8:35 at LAX. Now, Harvey told us earlier that it was going to be Van Nuys. So LAX is better news because that's a stone's throw away from the courthouse.
She was due at 8:30.
Yeah, she was due at 8:30.
Lindsay's attorney just drove away from the courthouse in his Hummer. Lindsay's dad is in the courthouse. Lindsay's estimated arrival time is now 8:31 a.m., meaning she'll definitely be late. So we don't know yet, but if she's, I mean, by now, it would have happened. It would have
7:31 when her plane landed.
They must have meant that, yeah. By now, that time would have come and gone, and we should know whether or not she's...
Yeah, that's the update I was looking for, whether she actually got slapped at the bench, or she was arrested, or whether she actually made it in time or not.
But. Yeah, that was the last post at TMZ.com, although they do have a live camera showing all the photographers standing out in front of the courtroom.
Meanwhile, it is a battle royal between Justin and Lindsay. Justin, last week... wrote this lengthy sort of rambling Instagram rant against the press, and people are saying he's a has-been and he's out of control and he's a loser. He said everyone is just jealous because he's 19 and this is just the beginning of his career. And then he tagged up with a little bit at the end saying anyone who compares him to Lindsay Lohan should think twice. Just look at our 2012 tax records, he said. Boom. Said, I have money, so I'm good.
It doesn't work that way, Justin.
Well, Lindsay has responded by saying his slap at her was senseless and mean. She has no idea why Bieber picked a fight with her, but she says she's certain karma will come back to haunt him. Lindsay considered Bieber, in her words, rude, ungrateful, obnoxious little hairless boy.
It's hard to argue with any of that.
It really is. Lindsay said she plans on getting back with Bieber by having sex with him and giving her whatever it is she carries down there. So that'll teach him, won't it? Meanwhile... sad, sad news all over the place today. Looks like Elizabeth Hasselbeck will be leaving the View, along with Joy Behar. How are we going to get by without those two?
Well, I hope the reason they're not getting rid of her is because her conservative views were unpopular with the audience. I hope that's not true.
No, apparently the reason they're getting rid of her is they did some research and they found out that the political bickering between Joy Behar and Elizabeth Hasselbeck was one of the reasons the show was losing viewers. People were turned off by it, did not want to deal with it.
Yeah, I can see that. That's not what you go to The View for.
A lot of housewives who sit at home and been watching The View don't want to watch women bicker. They want to hear about recipes and gossip and how to make your face look firmer and stuff like that. So I can see why they'd have them go. It looks like Christy Brinkley, perhaps, is being considered for one of the people to replace the spot at the table.
Hmm.
Along with comedian Allie Wentworth, who's also very funny. She's married to George Stephanopoulos. So we'll see who they replace those two with. And Tone Loc, man. I don't know what's going on with Tone Loc, but I'm concerned. He collapsed on stage in Iowa on Saturday. He had just finished a song when he keeled over. Paramedics checked him out. A few minutes later, the audience was told that the show was over. Then he responded, the show's been over for Tone Loc since 1985. No word on how he's doing or whether he's even in the hospital. We can't get any update on Tone Loc. I'm concerned.
Well, there seems to be round-the-clock Lil Wayne coverage,
I know.
But nobody can give us a minute with what's up with Tone Loc.
Right. They're all about the scissor, but nothing about the funky cold Medina.
That's right, man.
Will he do the wild thing again? We don't know, because no one cares.
Timing. Timing.
So be my queen, if you know what I mean. Let's do the wild thing.
Yeah.
So here's how it goes working with beer mugs. So
right.
Ralph says, everyone cares about the scissor. Nobody cares about the funky cold Medina. Pause,
crickets,
pause,
crickets,
wait,
crickets,
look,
crickets,
look.
Crickets.
Just any,
well,
just.
Yeah.
Yes, beer mugs.
The problem was, is I had Wild Thing up.
But at least you hit Wild Thing in the middle of my
sentence.
That was helpful.
I gotta work on that. Yeah. Sorry.
Listener wrote in and said, the Tone Loc may be in a funky coma, Medina.
Funky coma.
Medina. No one loves it.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
That's right. You weren't there. Today's celebrity birthdays, Mike Rowe, TV personality and commercial pitchman. Yeah, Dirty Jobs. Does a great job with that show. He's a great host slash personality. He's like a very charming, well put together, smart guy. 51 years old today. Vanessa Williams turns 50. Jerry Cantrell, your neighbor, Bean, your neighbor from Alice in Chains.
I don't know if there's going to be a new Alice in Chains album anytime soon, but I do know Jerry's playing a lot of guitar lately, so that seems like they're working on it.
Got to stay in practice. He's 47. Singer, actress, and rapper Queen Latifah's 43 years old today.
From Barbershop 2, all hail Queen Latifah.
All right, we'll hail her, Bean. Dane Cook is 41. And Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Just did, I believe. He is 34 years old today. It's nice that Kevin can still be with us even after he's passed. It's nice.
No, no, he's fine. He's just on vacation. Man. No, he's just on vacation.
Okay, sure, Bean. How long you live with that lie? Yeah, okay. And I'm sure the head of the Westboro Baptist Church, he's fine, too. Come on. Stop believing everything you read. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Atlas Genius is the name of the band here on K-Rock. They'll be playing a sold-out show with our friends in Imagine Dragons at the Wiltern this Wednesday night. Again, that one is sold out. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. So I'm watching the Walking Dead last night, like I do, Ralph.
Yeah.
And they did promos for two reality shows that I thought were fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
One is called Urban Tarzan.
Sure, yeah.
This is one where they have a guy who travels the country capturing and relocating dangerous animals. Mm-hmm. That's his job. That's what he does.
And then the producers of Joe Schmo Show.
Is that true? Yeah. Urban Tarzan is?
Oh, yeah.
And then the other one, because apparently America can't get enough of animals, is a guy. It's a taxidermy competition. It's a show where people compete against each other to make the best dead animal things.
Stuff my beaver.
You may have rented that over the weekend. That is not, in fact, the name of this show. I don't know what this one is called. It's called like Wild Things or something like that. But what's happening in the world? Or is it End Times? What's happening?
I checked out months ago.
These are real shows that are on television for people to see.
I no longer consider myself part of your race, humans. I'm on the outside looking in. I checked out after the Great American Baking Competition.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. All right, 9:38 time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday. What's going on?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office so you can see what other people went to see in the movies. Oz the Great and Powerful, still number one in its second week, made $42.2 million. The Call, in its debut, made $17.1 million. Incredible Burt Wonderstone, a little less than incredible, with $10 million, making it number three this weekend. Then Jack the Giant Slayer. By the way, still on pace to be one of the biggest bombs in movie history.
That's a very expensive movie to make, if I recall.
It cost over $200 million to make.
Wow.
Yeah. Identity Thief was fifth. Snitch, 21 and over. Silver Linings Playbook still hanging in the top 10. Safe Haven and Escape from Planet Earth. That's your top 10 right there. Olivia Wilde's just the best. She's the best. She treated her fiancé, Jason Sudeikis, to a night at a strip club this week. New York Post reporting that she booked a private room with two pole dancers for her fiancé at the Penthouse Executive Club in New York City. They were there for about 2 hours. This is shortly after they announced their engagement, and Olivia picked up the entire tab for her fiancé to have a good time at the Penthouse Executive Club.
See, ladies, be like that.
Why can't you be like that?
Be like that.
Well, if I look like that, I could be like that.
You should be even more like that if you look less like that.
Why would she
ever in inverse proportion. The less you're providing pleasure in that department to your man, the more you should supplement it with strippers at a strip club.
I mean, clearly Olivia Wilde is not threatened by any woman.
No, of course not.
Of course not.
But he's getting all that for free just by marrying her, and yet she's still giving him the extra bonus vitamin V. You know what I'm saying?
She's the perfect woman.
And, you know, if you're not Olivia Wilde, you should be doing that twice a month for your man. Get with it.
Okay, I'll take that under consideration.
Step up, girls.
When was the last time you rented out a strip club for your boyfriend, Lisa?
Yes,
you know, it's been a long time
now
that you mention
it. See, that's the point here.
Pay some attention.
Okie dokie.
God's sakes. This is good news.
No wonder he strays, by the way.
This is good news. Stephen Fry, one of my favorite British comedians and actors, is now going to be working here in the States. He's just picked up a new sitcom on CBS called Super Clyde. He'll play the sidekick to a character named Clyde, as you can imagine. Rupert Grint will be playing Clyde. So two Brits teaming up to provide us Yankees with some laughs. Stephen Fry had a long-running partnership with Hugh Laurie for many years in England. They used to do a sketch comedy show together called Little Bit of Fry and Laurie, and it was very, very entertaining, so I'm glad to see him back on the television. More casting news. Greg Kinnear has been added to the cast of Will Ferrell's Anchorman 2. The legend continues.
Nice.
No word on what role he'll have, but I bet it'll be funny. Greg doesn't work nearly enough, in my opinion.
No,
he's a very,
I agree.
Very funny guy. And Time Magazine has an interesting list of the top 10 prequels that are actually satisfying. Usually when you hear one of your favorite films is getting a prequel, you start to moan and groan, but not all the stories are bad. Time Magazine rounded up 10 prequels that they think are actually put themselves very well.
Now, that's probably based on Oz being in theaters now. And
exactly.
No matter whether you like the Oz or not, I mean, The Wizard of Oz is still the one. You know, the prequel certainly doesn't make you forget the original movie. That's
no,
for
but
sure.
The prequel hasn't been a huge disappointment.
Right, right, right.
Like many,
right,
so many others have been. Like,
boy,
Dumb and Dumberer, for example. Remember Dumb and Dumberer? It was the prequel they did to the funny Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels movie, Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
That was unwatchable. Horrible.
Yeah.
There's many, many more bad ones than there are good ones, but they say these are pretty good.
All right.
Here's some from the list. Star Trek, the rebooted Star Trek, was a prequel to all the other Star Trek films. It was a young Captain Kirk taking his first mission, right?
Absolutely.
He said that was a good one, and it was. Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me. That motion picture was actually a prequel to what happened in the TV series.
Okay.
Very satisfying. The Godfather 2. Now, ordinarily, you don't think of it as a prequel because it is a sequel to the first Godfather film, but in reality, the storyline actually follows Don Corleone as a young man. The Brando character, played by Robert De Niro, is featured prominently, and it's his story that predates the original.
Wow. How about that? Okay.
Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, they say, wasn't nearly as bad as people say. I would take umbrage with that. Batman Begins was considered by many as sort of a prequel because it kind of told the history of the character, how he first became Batman, the first of Chris Nolan's Batman trilogy. Very entertaining. And X-Men First Class, which also went back to show the origin of many of the X-Men characters, also successful. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Most of the ones on that list are really reboots.
Yes, that's
true. Of the franchise,
that's true. With the exception of Godfather Part 2 and Fire Walk With Me. I love that movie. I haven't seen that in a while. Let me check that out again. From what we understand, depending on who you talk to, Lil Wayne is either in critical condition or is feeling great watching the Syracuse game.
He is either dead or will be performing on Dancing with the Stars tonight.
That's right. We're not sure what's happening. Harvey over there at TMZ says that he has it on the utmost authority that Lil Wayne's still in the ICU after 6 days in the hospital at Cedars-Sinai. But many of the rapper's fellow rapper friends and Lil Wayne himself via Twitter, if you believe he's actually typing in his Twitter account, he's feeling great and could not be better. And he's lifting weights in the Cedars-Sinai's gym, as we talked.
He had Drake stopping by over the weekend and Nicki Minaj.
Didn't Chris Paul come by from the
Chris
Clippers?
Paul came by. A lot of celebrity visitors. And by the way, all of Lil Wayne's entourage, I don't know if you noticed this, Ralph, you and I have both spent some time at Cedars-Sinai Hospital over the years.
Yes.
All of them parked on the street, on the curb, next to the hospital. Now, those parking spaces are not available to the public, right?
They're usually reserved for, what do they call those things? Ambulances, I believe.
Right. They just park wherever they want, just lined up and down the streets there by Cedars. As many cars as he's got in the entourage.
There was a fleet of black SUVs parked along the curb there outside the hospital.
I just know in the times that I've gone, I'm in a garage 3 miles away and catching a shuttle.
You're in parking lot 3. That's where you end up. Yeah. I noticed that too, and I couldn't understand it. And Tone Loc apparently not doing well either. He collapsed on stage over the weekend in Iowa. A listener from Iowa sent me an email saying he just collapsed in order to get out of the state of Iowa. I don't know if that's true or not, but he just finished a song when he keeled over on stage. Paramedics checked him out, and a few minutes later, the audience was told that the show was over. There's no word on how Tone Loc is, or even if he's in the hospital. But, of course, all our thoughts and prayers go out to Mrs. Loc and all the little Locs. He had two big hits in 1989. Now, Funky Cole Medina, of course, a classic. And then Wild Thing. You can't forget Wild Thing.
Hold on.
Or I guess some people can't forget Wild Thing.
Like Who could have seen needing a Tone Loc song coming?
Once again, I had it on Funky Cold Medina, and
last
not
week
wild.
You were, the last hour you were bitching because you had Wild Thing right up.
That's why I can't guess.
But you want to hear
have
it?
Another burrito, Muggs.
Go eat something.
Wahoos is delicious.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Adam Levine of Maroon 5 is 34 years old today. All right? Don't need that either. Dane Cook is 41 years old. Queen Latifah is 43. Jerry Cantrell of Alice in Chains turns 47 years old. Vanessa Williams turns 50. Mike Rowe, one of our favorites, host of Dirty Jobs. He is 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Appreciate everybody listening. Thanks to our friend Jared Leto for calling in again, world premiering the song with us, Up in the Air, new music from 30 Seconds to Mars. We'll play that for you again next hour with Kat Corbett. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, a couple of things you might be interested in, including Andy Dick stopping by. It's been a while since Mr. Dick has been here.
Uh-oh.
In studio, you say?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Andy, of course, is going to be Dancing with the Stars starting tonight on ABC.
And then also his spinoff, Groping with the Stars, will be seen right after that. You can check that out.
All of our friends that get on Dancing with the Stars, whether it's Mike Catherwood or Adam Carolla,
Jeff Ross,
yeah. They're all the first one voted off, right?
Well, yeah, they're all horrible.
Pretty much how that works. So we'll see how it goes with Andy. We'll find out tomorrow. Also, I am very excited, Ralph, and I think you will be too. I am going to be applying, as many others are, to be on the first human spacecraft to Mars. They are accepting applications now for astronauts. It is a one-way journey.
Can you leave now?
No, apparently it's not taking off yet. There's some training involved first.
Oh.
People are signing up by the thousands to be considered to go on a one-way journey to Mars.
What?
To live and die on the red planet. And I'm in.
Why don't you try dying on the blue planet first before you get any wild ideas, okay?
So we'll tell you about
how,
that.
How bad can your life be? Well, you think it's probably better if I just get into a small cramped space capsule and I'm shot halfway across the universe to another planet.
We'll talk about that tomorrow, but for a lot of people, it would be the most exciting part of their life. They just want to be able to go into space and to see Mars.
Spoiler alert, here's how it ends. You die on Mars alone.
Right. I mean, if you want to consider that a downside, but I'm saying it, the journey might be worth it.
They ran out of things to do on Earth, right? They're all done. They finished. They checked off everything on the list.
You know, it's really exciting, the big hullabaloo that it's you,
the
and then you
off.
Get in
there.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then after the blast off,
you know
it's just...
It's just freeze-dried dates.
Dull as dirt.
Just sitting there. You're just sitting there.
And then you're sitting there.
Then you get to a place where there's nothing, and hi, how are you? And then we forget about you. We don't care.
And if you're a Canadian college student who's stressed out, they now have a puppy room that you can go into to pet the puppies.
I love that.
Is that a euphemism?
I don't think it's a euphemism. I think it's actually petting the puppies.
Awesome.
We'll talk about all of that tomorrow
here. Lisa's moving to Canada, and you're going to Mars. Everyone's going away tomorrow.
Just going to be you and beer mugs till eternity. Sorry about that. See you tomorrow here on K-Rock.